It's Tuesday, January 4th. I'm Gideon Resnick.
I'm Josie Duffy Rice.
I'm Travelle Anderson.
And I'm Priyanka Arabindi, and this is What a Day, welcoming you to history's first perfect year.
Honestly, fuck you. Sorry. Just gonna say, how dare you?
It's gonna be beautiful.
It's gonna be amazing.
I want all of you to stop right now.
Well, happy New Year, Wad Squad. We are finally back from the holidays.
Ooh. We are.
True.
And you know because you can hear us.
Lucky you.
Yeah, 2021 is done, and we are excited to tell you all that you need to know throughout 2022. So today, we are doing things a little differently.
Yep, we're going to spend all episode talking about the big story we'll each be keeping an eye on in the new year.
I'll get us started with this story. This is a little bit of a cop-out since it's a catch-all. It's something that we've talked about quite a bit last year, but it is the pandemic.
We don't know everything we need to know yet.
I know COVID-19 has been very divisive in this country. It's become a political issue.
Overhyping COVID, it's already killed 780,000 Americans.
As we've been talking about, there was a new variant identified towards the end of last year, Omicron. We spent more time learning and discussing what that was all about. And it was yet another reminder of the fact that we are unfortunately not done with this. We can't put it quite behind us. And I think you can look at basically every single aspect of life this upcoming year and pretty obviously point out how anything we think about is going to be impacted by the course of the pandemic. And it could be good. You know, we'll see.
Probably not, but that's okay. Right. Talk to us about some of the things you'll be thinking about as we continue to cover the virus.
I have a lot of questions. The thing that jumps out to me that I think we've been spending a lot of time talking about, you know, for months is, does the U.S. get to a point where, like, this isn't a daily active concern, where we're not talking about it, thinking about it all the time? If there is a change there, does that impact the way the public views the Biden presidency? Does it influence how they vote in the midterms? If people are feeling better about where the pandemic is at and in their daily lives, does the world get to a point where, like, this isn't dictating how we live every day? Can you travel internationally? Is there vaccine distribution and equity? Does that get better? Does the way that the planet is going to have to combat climate change, do people collectively learn from the failure of what we've done here so far and try to fix that, which would be the other seemingly insurmountable global challenge? That I'm not sure about. But yeah, those are just some of the things that keep me up at night.
Sounds very chill.
Uh-huh.
These are great and very depressing questions. But as you look back on 2021, what else are you thinking about in the new year? That actually just, like, wasn't enough to be thinking about at night, Gideon. So we need you to have more things that you're thinking about.
Well, look, I mean, I guess it's like the question is, like, does this ever fade into the background for us? And by us, I mean humanity collectively, right? It maybe has for a lot of people, but I'm wondering if there ever is going to be something that is like the moment that Priyanka was talking about at the end of last year, the summer of 2021, where it at least felt like things were looking up in the U.S., right? Over time, that certainly changed and brought us to the end of last year. Take a listen.
What happens here is they get their vaccine. They're very grateful that we're here.
Wow, I've missed
that was
you
right.
all.
So we're going to take our masks off.
Okay. Thank you to science.
I want to get to some breaking news now that has just come into us.
Omicron's here.
Just when we thought we could breathe the sigh of relief, here we are.
Everybody should put the mask back on.
That's just going to be our new normal.
Ugh.
What a whiplash in terms of a mind. I did not like this montage.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize for doing this to everybody. But, you know, you asked and I answered. So, yeah, this is not a particularly insightful observation as to where we're heading in 2022. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I think it is going to dictate basically every other thing that we think about in life. And I hope that it is good for everybody and that we can move forward.
Crossing our fingers.
What an attempt to make that possible.
Yeah, I tried. Okay, so because the pandemic is going to be looming over our politics this year, unfortunately, Priyanka, tell us about what you are going to be paying attention to in 2022.
All right. Aside from Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker's wedding, which I am assuming is happening this year,
sure.
I, not unlike many of you listening to the show, at Crooked Media here, making this show, will inevitably spend most of my time this year thinking about the midterm elections. I know that is also a very obvious answer, but it's true. There are 34 Senate seats up for grabs, as well as 435 seats in the House. And while Democrats narrowly control both of those so far, A lot has been speculated about whether or not that will stay the same come November. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to leave all of that to the pundits and the TV shows and all of that. That's why you actually listen to this show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to repeat any of the speculation here, but I will say this. Midterm elections usually get pretty shitty turnout, but the last ones we had in 2018 saw 53% of voting age citizens turning out to vote, and that was a record for the past 100 plus years.
Wow.
That's amazing and depressing.
Yeah, yes. Incredibly. Yeah. It just doesn't seem that high, guys. I feel like we can do better. But that happened because regular people all over the country were motivated to go the extra mile, not only to vote, but to donate their time, their money, their energy to help other people do the same, to talk to people about what's at stake and why candidates and policies are important to them. And guess what? We got to do it all over again. I know November seems like a while from now, but it's also not that far away. And that is why here on WAD, we will be talking to candidates and experts around the country about the issues, their plans to combat them, and what we need to do to help. We'll be doing it all year long.
You know, I just want to say that I do think we should all get a 6-month break where we don't have to hear about anybody who's been elected
don't
office.
We all,
I just, like every couple of years, just like a 6 months, we're like, whatever, and then we can get back in it.
It'd be great.
Anyway, that's not possible. And it's really important that you pay attention to elections now until you die. So it's not. So we've been talking about local elections and midterm elections, but how can people get involved in their own local community? Because as we've talked about a lot on here, that's really important and it usually doesn't get as much attention, right?
Yeah, I really want to plug the team at Vote Save America because I think they do a really good job making this accessible and easy for people and just keeping it all in one place. Mm-hmm. They're really on top of it. They source kind of the best ways for us to maximize volunteer hours, donations, whatever we have to give, and they compile everything in one place. You can find where near you campaigns to volunteer for, what the issues are in elections, you know, what the deadlines are to register, all that information you would ever want and need in one place. It's been a really invaluable resource to me, and I know so many other people have used it in the past. I highly recommend using it and sending it to people you know, especially if you've moved in the last year. Use it to double check that you're still registered to vote, and if you're not, fix that early. As you know, if you've listened to the show, it's not getting any easier to vote most places. So highly recommend getting on that early. We will be on it over the course of this year. I know we will all be kind of interviewing candidates and talking about these issues. So just buckle up for that.
Whew, more hope.
I promise we've got more of what's in store in 2022 with what Josie and Travell are watching. Hopefully it is a little more hopeful than what we have presented. But first, we're going to take a quick break for some ads.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We are back for our first WAD of 2022, and all of us are sharing the story that we are keeping a close eye on this upcoming year. Josie, what are you watching?
There's so much stuff worth our attention. and the joy of our modern times, and I mean joy very sarcastically, to be clear, means that we probably can't even predict the specifics of whatever absurdity awaits us in 2022. Mm-hmm. Who even knows? But if there is one story I'm sure to be watching, I bet you guys will all be shocked to hear that it is the current battle over the future of our criminal justice system. Mm. I'm not really into sports.
Shocking.
I don't do much. I don't have any hobbies. This is my hobby, okay? This is what I do.
I like that the decision that you're presenting was sports or the criminal justice right. system.
I'm just like, other people watch the Super Bowl, I guess, and I like, whatever, I do this. So my life is super chill and lighthearted.
That's all right.
But yes, that's what I will be watching.
That's okay. Okay, so the past several years have been pretty strange and tumultuous. How have they set the stage for where we are now?
Yeah, I mean, I think since George Floyd's murder, right, these years have had moments of real promise, and then they've also had moments of real disappointment. So for context, 2 years ago, very few people had even heard of the concept defund the police, right? It wasn't something anybody talked about. And then in the months after George Floyd's murder, criticism of police and prosecutors and prisons reached a new high, and a lot of people really started to imagine what a future could look like where we depended less on law enforcement to ensure public safety. But the thing is, while the rhetoric and the polling changed, the policy mostly did not.
Right.
And there were some steps taken here and there. I mean, here at Atlanta, for example, we have a new program called PAD that sends non-law enforcement first responders in situations where a law enforcement officer isn't warranted or wanted. Mm-hmm. So there are some good things happening. But despite all the fear-mongering by police departments around the country, they have not even been a little defunded. In fact, they've been more funded. Max funded, refunded, whatever, however you want to call it. They've managed to get more funding over the past year. And meanwhile, certain types of crimes have increased over the past year, including in many places, homicides. Many critics are now kind of blaming this rise in crime with defund or Black Lives Matter. That is who they're saying is responsible for this rise in crime. There is, I should say, zero evidence of that. Absolutely zero. None. Zip, zilch. And if I were a betting woman, I'd say that the same thing that led to an increase in some crime was probably the global pandemic that shook up every facet of every person we know's life.
That little thing.
You know, that had some impact. But still, law enforcement has been really successful at convincing people that, in fact, the conversation about reimagining policing led to an increase in crime. And I'm pretty nervous about what that means for the near future.
Mm. So what do you think led to the failure of enacting real change in 2021?
You know, this is really how criminal justice policy and policy more broadly is made in America. Often our policy decisions are shaped by fear, not imagination. They're shaped by punishment and not by safety. So I think it's safe to say that that's why traditionally we have shoved millions of people in prison, many for excessively long sentences, rather than address their material realities, right? But it doesn't have to be this way. America has spent decades building this Goliath of a failed system. And if you look over the past few decades, both parties are squarely to blame for mass incarceration. They've made one fear-based, terrible policy decision after another. But in 2022, I'm hopeful, and I'll be watching to see whether we're finally ready to think more critically about the ways in which our mass punishment infrastructure has failed us and absolutely failed the people who have languished under it for so long. You know, the question isn't whether we can, but whether we will.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
So, Travelle, it is your turn. What are you going to be looking for in the new year?
Well, first and foremost, I'm hoping that 2022 will be the year we finally get a new Rihanna album.
Yes.
Or Rihanna, I should say. That's how she says her name. But beyond that, surprise, surprise, I'm still pushing the trans agenda. So I'll be keeping my eyes on the yet unfolding political landscape as it relates to trans rights. Last year was already a dumpster fire from sports bans, restricting trans youth from playing on the sports teams that align with their identities, to attempts to legally outlaw gender-affirming and life saving care for trans folks and beyond. So as we look to this new year, activists and advocates are already gearing up for what they predict will be an even worse onslaught of attempts to codify transphobia and legislate transphobic discrimination. Here's ACLU lawyer Chase Strangio in conversation with journalist Tuck Woodstock on their podcast, Gender Reveal.
We're now in this moment where the courts are much more conservative and the escalation of attacks are much higher and more frequent. And we're dealing with two contexts, you know, the context of mostly youth in sports, as well as healthcare access for minors. And we're up against a lot of challenges in these spaces. And I really believe that the other side's arguments are sort of patently absurd. And yet we are losing many of these fights.
And so to put this into perspective, Strangio, who's been on the front lines of these legal battles, notes that 13 anti-trans bills actually passed in state legislators last year. And this comes after he and the folks at the ACLU were able to stop almost every other anti-trans bill leading up to it, other than 2016's North Carolina bathroom bill.
On our last show of 2021, you talked a lot about hopeful moments in the trans community and the opportunities they've had to share their stories. So is that making any impact on the ways that the public sees trans people and how they feel about these kinds of laws?
Well, public opinion is really a mixed bag of foolishness. I don't know if you can really trust the American people today, but, you know, we'll get to that later. And by that, I mean a Gallup poll from last year noted that while Americans overall support trans people in the military, for example, significantly less people believe trans folks should be able to play on sports teams that align with their identities. So more people are comfortable with us risking our lives in the name of nationalism than there are folks who believe women and girls who are trans should be able to compete against other women and girls in sports.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we probably have our own opinions about why that is. But what do you attribute to that disconnect?
You know, I got a long list of attributions. But in large part, I think it's due to the ways conservatives and the religious right have exploited the lack of knowing and understanding by the American public. Mm. So many people still don't have personal experience with a trans person, or at least they think they don't have any personal experience with a trans person. And so when people espouse dangerous and disgusting rhetoric about trans people being predators or mentally ill or otherwise confused, that leads to the emotional, psychological, and physical violence that many of us experience, both from everyday people and the institutions that are supposed to protect us. And that rhetoric, which is finding legal footing because of how conservative courts have become over the last few years, is in part responsible for 2021 being the deadliest year on record for trans and gender nonconforming people. So this year, I'll be covering as many of these legal battles as possible in hopes of equipping us all with the necessary information we need to start for some and continue for others showing up for trans folks.
Yeah. And I am excited to hear you do it.
Me too.
And it's going to be great. Those are the headlines that we're all looking toward in 2022.
But one more thing before we go. If you've got a particular story you think we should follow in the new year, message us. That's actually how I found good stories before. People have slid into my DMs and been like, hey, are you going to talk about this on WAD?
Yeah.
So keep doing it. It's great. You can find us all on social, on Twitter, Instagram, and more. Please do.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe. Follow us on Instagram to see pics of our unprecedented in-person recording and tell your friends to listen.
And if you are into reading and not just 2022 on checks like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe.
I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
I'm Travelle Anderson.
I'm Josie Duffy Rice.
I'm Gideon Resnick.
And welcome to the new year.
We hope it's more joyous than how we presented it.
Crossing our fingers.
It's going to be great, guys. It's going to be real good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect year, as we said.
Perfect. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Bill Lance. Jazzy Marine and Raven Yamamoto are our associate producers. Our head writer is John Milstein, and our executive producers are Leo Duran and me, Gideon Resnick. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.